Let's go ahead and begin by an invocation by Terry Turk, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led this evening by Scout Morgan Griffiths from Troop 751. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge?
Our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee at the beginning of this City Council meeting this evening, thankful for the many blessings that we enjoy as friends and neighbors to live in this community with the freedoms and the beauty that we enjoy. We're grateful for all those who have given so much that we may have so much to give. We're thankful for the blessings of freedom that we enjoy. And we pray for those who defend our freedoms and put themselves in harm's way for us nationally, as well as those who keep us safe and here in our own community. We pray for them and their families. We're grateful for those who sacrifice and serve in important ways, those who are here this evening and those throughout our city. We pray for those who make decisions and those who grapple with difficult issues. We pray that we may, as a community, have thy spirit, and as these leaders particularly, that they may be blessed with wisdom and prudence. We thank thee, Father, for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Morgan, you want to come forward and lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty, and justice for all.
Kyle Jones, are you on the phone line now? Was that a yes?
Hello?
Yes. Kyle, can you hear us here?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, we're just going to read the consent agenda items now. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on new hotel-motel license for Best Western Dobson Ranch Inn and Resort, 1644 South Dobson Road. Item 3B, act on new restaurant license for Best Western Dobson Ranch Inn and Resort, 1644 South Dobson Road. Item 3C, act on new restaurant license for Midori Soon Tofu Restaurant, 1116 South Dobson Road, Suite 11. Item 4A, act on bingo, Class A application for Coronado Park Club, 2700 East Allred. Item 5B, act on dollar limit increase to supply contract for gasoline and diesel fuel to $5,102,600 through July 31st, 2008. Item 5C has been deleted. Item 5D, act on dollar limit increase to supply contract for traffic signal equipment to $248,000. Item 5F, act on dollar limit increase to supply contract for fire uniforms to $268,000 through June 30th, 2008. Item 5G, act on 3-year supply and service contract for precast electric vaults, $413,877.93. Item 5H, act on contract for IT building data center chiller replacement, $464,431. Item 5I, act on contract for new floors in IKEA Theater at Mesa Arts Center, $122,038.40. Item 6A, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend Mesa Tax Code. Item 6B, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend Mesa City Code regarding taxation of residential properties. Item 6D, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend zoning code regarding group homes for the handicapped.
Item 6E, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend Mesa City Code regarding licensing of group homes. Item 6F, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend Mesa City Code pertaining to livestock regulations. Item 6G, introduce ordinance for May 19th, amend Mesa City Code pertaining to public street improvements. Item 6H has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6I, introduce ordinance for May 19th, a zoning case of Z08-8800 East Elliott Road for a Item 6J, introduce ordinance for May 19th, zoning case Z08-21-5524 East Baseline Road for site plan modification. Item 6K, introduce ordinance for May 19th, zoning case Z08-22-4200 East McAllops Road for a rezone. Item 6L, introduce ordinance for May 19th, zoning case Z08-23-3845 North Higley Road to expand a metal fabrication shop. Item 6M, introduce ordinance for May 19th, zoning case Z08-24-1310 East McAllis Road for a fitness and office center. Item 7A, act on resolution to grant a public utilities easement at 2745 North Greenfield Road. Item 7B, act on resolution to grant a power distribution easement to SRP at 2745 North Greenfield Road. Item 7C, act on resolution to extinguish portion of a public utility easement at 861 North Dobson Road. Item 7D, act on resolution to extinguish portion of public utility easement at 1150 North Alma School Road. Item 7E, act on resolution for a demonstration solar electricity installation at the water treatment plant. Item 7F, act on resolution for design and construction for a traffic signal at Sossaman Road and Texas Avenue. Item 7G, act on resolution to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Arizona Department of Revenue for exchange of taxpayer information. Item 7I, act on resolution to approve submittal for four grant applications to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation. Item 8A, act on ordinance, zoning case Z08-17-5462-104 and 110 South Allen Road for a rezone. Item 8B has been added to the consent agenda. Act on ordinance, zoning case Z08-18-7311 East Southern Avenue for a rezone. Item 8C, act on ordinance, zoning case Z08-19-2207 South Hawes Road for a medical office building. Item 8D has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 9A, act on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code regarding annexations. Item 9B, act on ordinance to amend terms and conditions for the sale of utilities. Item 9C, act on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code regarding off-site development requirements. Item 9D, act on resolution to approve annexation guidelines. Item 9E, act on resolution to modify annexation application fees and adopt new annexation equity fee. Item 10A, act on subdivision plat, Belrose Office Condominium plat, 3850 East Baseline Road. Item 10B, act on subdivision plat, Riley Aviation, 2745 North Greenfield Road. Item 10C, act on subdivision plat, Clubhouse Village at Alta Mesa, 1508 North Alta Mesa Drive. Mayor and Council members, these were the items on the consent agenda.
Are there any requests to remove any other items?
Mayor, I received four cards pulling agenda items 6D and E. Only two of the citizens want to speak.
Okay. So remove 6D and E. All right. All right. Can I, somebody entertain a motion then?
Upon reflection and given the fact that this is the most limiting alternative that was realistic for us, I would like to put 8D back on the consent agenda on page 14, item 8D.
8D?
Which is, if you need it read in, is amending section 408 of the Mesa City Charter to allow for the implementation of an individual residential rental inspection program.
I've made a motion for approval including 8 D being returned to the consent agenda and items 6D and 6E being pulled. Did I get the correct ones? Okay.
All right. Is there a second? All right. Motion and second. Seconded by Councilmember Truitt. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
The vote is unanimous then in favor of the ayes. First item that was not on the consent that we have this evening is on page 5, I'm sorry, page 3, item number 5A, And this is an item in which I have a conflict on because of an ownership interest in some property that is leased to some individuals dealing with asphalt products.
Do you want to take all yours?
The council would like to combine all of my conflicts into one and try it. So I also have the same conflict on 5J, K, L, M, and N.
Okay, and so I will take all of those. I'll read them all in except for M because Councilmember Truitt has a conflict on that one, so I'll take all the others as a group and read them in. 5A is to purchase the tire rubber modified surface sealant as requested by Transportation Division for a total award based on estimated purchases of $311,362.50 through the City of Glendale contract with Musgrove Enterprises, LLC. Item 5J is water meter assembly rehabilitation. This project will replace 26 6-inch commercial water meters locations throughout the city. It's recommended that the total award go to the low bidder Ellison Mills Contracting for a total award of $297,674.89. Item 5K is cured-in-place wastewater lining on Horn Extension Broadway and Power Roads. This project will rehabilitate the existing pipes by installing new trenchless interior lining systems within the existing pipe. It's recommended that the award of the construction phase services contract go to Aiken Gardner as the construction manager at risk for a total award of $3,704,265.09. Item 5L is residential street overlays. This project includes more than 265,000 square yards of asphalt pavement mill and overlay. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder, Construction 70 Inc., for a total award of $2,853,753.10. Item 5N is the municipal court building. This project will construct a new municipal court building with approximately 100,000 square feet on three floors. It's recommended the award of the construction phase services contract to Sunt Construction as the construction manager at risk for this project with a guaranteed maximum price of $25,947 plus a 5% change order allowance for a total award of $26,250,994. Were there any requests to speak on any of these items?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval of these items by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Truitt. Is there any council discussion on these? All right. Then seeing none, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote? Kyle?
I said yes.
Sorry, couldn't hear you. All right. It is the motion passes with 6 ayes and the mayor abstaining because of potential conflict. We will now go back to item 5M. And Councilmember Truitt, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Clearing a conflict on this particular one because our engineering firm designed this water line.
I guess we can't comment on that, can we? Because we'd like to have a little fun with that, Daryl. McKellips Road water line, Val Vista Drive to Higley Road, City of Mesa. Project will install a 30-inch water line along McKellips Road from Val Vista to Higley. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder, Hunter Contracting, for a total award of $2,500,514.50. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
All right, I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion? Would you please vote? Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes with 5 ayes and the mayor and Councilmember Truitt abstaining because of potential conflicts of interest. Back to you, Mayor.
Next item would be on page 76C, and this is amending section 11-1-6 of the Mesa zoning ordinance by adding definitions for auto title lenders, deferred presentment lenders, and non-chartered financial institutions, sometimes referred to as payday loan stores. This was heard by the P&Z and also the DDC committee. All right, and I have
one request to speak, I believe. These are all other ones. All right. Ernie Johnson, do you want to speak on 6C?
Mayor Hawker and members of the committee, I'm Ernie Johnson, Brown and Mesa Drive. I would like to encourage support for this measure. However, a big failure of this measure is that it does not put any current payday loaners out of business. I think that should be corrected, and I would encourage everybody to sign Marion McClure's petition for the ballot, which would put the payday loan stores out of business. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. All right, council discussion. Vice Mayor Whalen.
Mayor, I the last time this was brought up, I went with the majority and indicated that I did not support enacting an ordinance that would set a limitation on the number of payday loan stores. My reason for that was I thought the market would take care of itself and the competition would prevail. I was wrong on that, and since that time, there has been a proliferation of these stores. They're now on three corners and at least five different locations within my district. I realize that we can't stop the ones that are there, although I think competition probably will stop them, but I do believe we need to end the proliferation. Therefore, I will be encouraging the council to move forward with an ordinance that would set a 1,200-foot limit, but also to look at the alternative B, which the P&Z board recommended from their May 1st meeting, that would also require a council use permit. So, Ms. Spinner, I don't know how I would go in making the motion. The ordinance alternative B would be the one that I would prefer.
Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, we have alternative B that Mr. Sheffield passed out in between the meetings. Are you comfortable with the ordinance as prepared in alternative B?
I just first saw it a few minutes ago, but my initial read on it, it seems to cover the situation that we'd like to do.
Then you can make a motion to that effect. If you're comfortable with this ordinance, you will make a motion to introduce alternative B with regard to this agenda item.
I'm going to hold on the motion just for a second for some more discussion, and then we'll see where I go.
Vice Mayor?
I just have a question. I can't. We got so many papers handed to us. I'm not sure which one is which, but the process on the one that is being introduced, not the B one, but the other one, was that if there was a 1,200-foot separation, a council hearing was not required. It was just staff had to just check and make sure that the 1,200-foot separation existed.
That's correct.
With this puts it in the same realm as pawn shops, where you have the 1,200-foot separation requirement, and then it would come for a council hearing?
That's correct. It would require a council use permit, which time the council would decide, is this use compatible with the surrounding use in the area?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was clear on what the differences were.
Question then, could a previous council approve a payday loan center within 1,200 feet then if it required a council use permit, where the previous ordinance would prohibit within the 1,200-foot radius?
I'm sorry, Councilmember Whalen, I'm not sure I understood the question.
It's a two-pronged question. Number one, the ordinance that came from downtown development and the one that was presented to us this evening indicated a standard 1,200-foot. Staff would not allow any application for a payday loan center within 1,200 foot of another one. The second proposal is to add a council use permit to that. My question is, would the council have the authority to overrule the 1,200-foot limit and still issue a council use permit under this ordinance?
Let me ask Gordon, because I've just received this also, so I haven't had a chance to read it as carefully. Gordon drafted it.
Mayor, council members, if you look at page 4 of alternative B, item number 5 at the top of the page, in bold print, it says exceptions to any of the separation requirements listed in this subsection may be made by the City Council upon a finding that there are significant intervening physical features between a proposed and existing like use or school. Significant intervening physical features may include such items as arterial streets, canals, parks, or similar buffering features or developments. So that gives you some, get a council some flexibility to approve things that are closer than 1,200.
I haven't had a chance to read the minutes from the P&Z meeting, Gordon, but did they discuss this issue at all rather than having a strict 1,200 foot but giving the council the option?
No, they didn't discuss this. The idea of giving the option to waive
or diminish the 1,200-foot separation. Specifically, this language is already in the ordinance for council use permits for things like tattoo parlors and pawn shops. So all we did is kind of basically make that more clear when we wrote this particular section of the code.
Okay.
So did you make a motion?
I'll go ahead and make the motion to approve alternate B, which would require a council use permit and a 1,200-foot separation.
I'm seconding the motion.
All right, this would be to introduce alternative B and setting May 19th as the date for the public hearing and vote on it.
That's correct, Mayor.
All right. All right, other discussion? Okay, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
All right, the vote passes with 5 ayes and 2 nays, with myself and Councilmember Rawls voting nay. I'll explain my vote by saying that the legislature created this monster with payday loans and enabled them to be regulated through that process. It's a sunset that comes up in 2010, and I think we ought to let it play out. If there isn't enabling legislation to let them continue, they all go away, and that would be my preference. So. All right. That puts us on item page 8, and I had some added. Do we have those? 6D. And this again is introduction and setting May 19th, and this has to do with several sections. The zoning ordinance regarding group homes for handicapped and supervised living facilities. And I have a request to speak on this one from Steve Collins. And Steve, you want to lead off?
The purpose of me speaking tonight is on this proposals that's been bandied around quite a bit. I don't agree with everything that's being proposed. One of the reasons is it's leaving things wide open. I've met with city management, and I was under the understanding we were going to have some meetings and kind of come to resolution. That has not occurred. Another reason is the documentation shows it was passed by two committees in November 15th. Since that time, it's gone forward to additional committees, and each one of those committees have asked that it be tabled or sent back for reconsideration. That, of course, has not happened as well. There's a lot of open-ended questions that I feel the city should respond to the group homeowners at this time and before they pass this. Also, it seems as if it was a kind of a rush thing to get done before the next council takes session in June. So I'm just requesting that the City of Mesa Council sit back. Let's look at this logically. City of Phoenix is being used as a model of which has not been successful. I talked to them again today, and they don't have a good feel for what they're doing as well as what we're trying to do. And that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Diana, is it Jacket? Jacquet?
Yes, I'd like to ask for this gentleman. I'd like to ask for someone else to speak for me, Mr. Monty Vogel.
All right, would you please come forward and identify yourself? If you'll fill out a blue card then, please.
Thank you.
All right. You can both speak. Good luck. All right.
Mayor, council members, my name is Monty Vogel. I represent a group of citizens, most of them sitting over here on my right-hand side. We'd like to just say that we are very pleased with the council moving forward with the group homes. This is is a big concern in the city of Mesa, and has been for quite some time. The reason why we wanted to address the council is because we still had some concerns that were unclear to us. One of those is being the zoning. It just states R4 and commercial, and we just wanted to verify, is other zoning part of this? For example, R15, R19, R143, other than just the C3 and the R4. The other is we would strongly recommend, as we as the council moves through the process of revamping the group homes, that they consider a limit of 6 maximum per group home. We feel that is for the best interest of the residences when these group homes come into our residential areas and cause the impact that they cause. So we would ask that you limit that, and we would make that recommendation. The other recommendation that we would recommend is an assurance of compliance with the zoning once these group homes are established, and so that's what our main concerns are. But we encourage the council to continue to move forward in making some changes in these group homes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I had two other cards that were opposed but did not wish to speak. That was Brenda Capizzi and Debbie Schullen. So I want to acknowledge those two also. That is on 6D and 6E. What is the council's pleasure on the introduction of these two? Councilmember Whalen.
I think it might be worthwhile if we could have Mr. Sheffield give a brief explanation as to what type of recovery homes for the handicapped are allowable in a single-family residential district. And then what type of facilities are we proposing to be established in the R4 and C designations, keeping in mind that we're dealing with federal law in the Fair Housing Act.
Mayor, council members, the proposal that you have before you would not amend any of the requirements currently in the zoning ordinance for single residence districts in terms of the location of these facilities in any of the R1 districts, R16 through R143, R190, or in the AG district. What it does do is it changes the definition a little bit. It tightens the definition up a little bit more than what we currently have. For example, it takes out the term recovery home from the list of items that are considered to be group homes for the handicapped. What you have, what it also does is it substitutes the definition. We currently have a definition for something called supervised living facilities. This was something that was adopted shortly after the council modified the zoning code to come into compliance with federal law. I think this was about 91 or 92. We currently have no supervised living facilities within the city of Mesa. Part of that may have been because when folks took a look at this, the requirement was a council use permit in the R4 district. R4 districts are generally located next to R1 districts, and politically that was probably likely to be not very popular. So what we're proposing now is to change that. The name would change to something called a correctional transitional housing facility. It would be a similar type of facility for people who are coming out of prison either on parole or probation. They would be located in a M1 district. But not in an R4. They would be located 1 mile from similar like facilities and at least 500 feet from a residential district. So that's currently what's proposed with this particular amendment.
Yes. The item 6E also, I don't know whether we can speak about that at this time, but it is in concert with 6D. Item 6E will repeal, Gordon, I may need you to stay just for 1 second. It will repeal the licensing requirement for group homes. currently we have some 150 or so licensed group homes within the city of Mesa. By repealing the licensing of those facilities, the regulation of those facilities, as I understand it, will still be controlled by our zoning department, and you will not be allowed to open a supervised living facility or any other facility unless you are a certified group home for the handicapped, which has ADA provisions in a residential district. The reason that this council is considering the revocation of the licenses is there's some thought that by issuing a license, we issue some legitimacy to certain provisions that truly aren't group homes for the handicapped, and that the fact that they are licensed gives them certain legitimacy when we don't really even inspect them other than a cursory fire inspection to determine if they are legitimate. So we're going to deal with this issue simply on the fact of zoning, and if someone's in violation of a zoning ordinance, then we're able to better deal with the issue rather than have to try to enforce a license that really is unenforceable.
Well stated. Right. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Collins is correct. He did meet, and I met with him, and I think he met with other people. This is only one piece of what has to happen, Mr. Collins. This is just one piece. And I have been working on this issue for, I would say, more than 10 years now. It is one of the most challenging issues that exists because cities are dealing with the implications of having group homes, and I'm using the term now in its broadest sense, and yet the law is federal. And one of the things that I thought of as I was sitting here is that we should probably put a link on our website to the language that's the federal papers that I think I brought a copy of those papers to our meeting the other day, Gordon, and you know that might really be useful for people so that they can see what guidelines the city is operating under. I read another letter to the editor today about how the city of Mesa is just so much different than every other city in terms of how we deal with this, as if every other city had this set of laws that prohibit group homes. It just isn't true. Everyone has to deal with federal law, and I have tremendous compassion, as I'm sure most people in this room do, for people who are struggling with issues of addiction. Actually, under the federal definitions, you can't be currently abusing drugs and alcohol and be qualified as handicapped. But under the Americans with Disabilities Act, if you are in recovery from those things, you are considered to be generally handicapped, with some definitions off to the side. Most of us, when we say the word handicapped, we're thinking of somebody who's in a wheelchair. We're thinking of somebody who has a visible physical impairment. Under federal law, that is not the definition of handicap. There is a much broader definition, and this city and every other city in this country is subject to that federal law. So it's important for everyone to understand what it is that we're grappling with here. We want to comply with the federal law. Do I have some problems with the federal law? I do. One of the challenges that I see is that it looks to me like anybody in the state of Arizona can go out and hang out a shingle that says, I'm now operating a group home. If you were doing that in dealing with people who are developmentally disabled, we would go and inspect, and when I say we, I mean as the state, they would go and inspect your home every year to make sure that you were actually doing what you said you were doing and that you weren't taking advantage of the developmentally disabled. I suggest that the same sort of thing ought to apply if you're dealing with people who are drug or alcohol recovering, that there ought to be some measure of standards that say that you can't take advantage of folks, that's a wrong thing to do just because they are in a handicapped status. And so that's something that the legislature is going to have to settle. We can't settle that here. But I think it's important for us to match up with Phoenix's law. I think that we're taking the correct steps to do that. There are some really good reasons for that. And so we're moving ahead with this. And you're right, Mr. Collins, there probably is a rush because I've been working on this, as I said, for 10 years. And so we need to get this piece of it done. But I saw Dave Richens come in a few minutes ago. He's back there. He's going to be replacing me on the council. He's going to pick it up and run with it. He and I have already talked. We'll talk some more. and he'll keep working on it, as will others. So this is just one piece of that whole puzzle. It isn't the end of it. It will move forward, and hopefully we will end up with something that that is a better situation for people who are in recovery or whatever their situation is, as well as neighborhoods. That would be the desirable situation all the way around. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, the item is 6D. Somebody want to entertain a motion?
I'm making a motion for approval.
All right. I have a motion and seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Councilmember Whalen.
Second, but I want to try to answer one question that you had reference to the number of occupants. The way I read the federal law, the number of occupants cannot diminish the residential flavor of the neighborhood, is how the law is written, which is somewhat vague, as you can well imagine. In our city, with certain fire provisions, group homes for the handicapped currently are required to have six occupants, no more than six occupants. If they go beyond six occupants, there's additional fire life safety requirements. But those are the only requirements currently within our zoning code that would apply. Something I think that needs to be further looked at, but once again, you're dealing with federal law and you're dealing with trying not to discriminate against someone on basis of their handicap to live in a residential neighborhood.
That's correct. All right, we have a motion and second. We've had the discussion. Sorry, sir. Tom?
Are we voting on 6D and 6E? Is that
we
possible?
We are voting on 6D at this time.
Is it possible for the motion to encompass both of them and the seconds that we can?
I'm willing to amend my motion to have it be 6D and 6E. 6E is repealing Title V, Chapter 2 of the Mesa City Code regarding licensing of group homes for the handicapped and supervised living facility. So I've now read it in, Mayor. These are both introductions. There will be public hearing.
Correct. All right. Everybody in concurrence with that? Then the motion is for 6D and 6E to be heard on May 19th. Would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
All right. Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. All right, the next item is 6H. This is parcel 51 at Los Indes. I think we've had this time or two before us, and we referred it back to PNZ. So it is again here this evening for introduction and setting May 19th, 2008. I do have some citizens that wanted to speak tonight on it. So I'll see if the applicant wants to lead it off, and we'll conduct more of a...
Mayor, council members, good evening. My name is Reese Anderson. My address for your record is 1930 East Brown, number 101 here in Mesa. Mayor, in as much as it's introduction and the tradition of this council has been just to introduce the cases, we're happy to respond to questions that you or that the neighbors may raise, but without that, I don't want to belabor the meeting any longer. So we take your lead in your direction, Mayor.
Okay, why don't you have a seat if there's something we need to address tonight to move it forward to the 19th, we will.
Thank you.
All right. Let me go. Councilmember Rawls.
I just want to say that I've already voted yes on three things that are being introduced for the 19th that I'm not going to vote yes on the 19th. I mean, that's the way we do things here. This is not particularly productive time to engage in a lot of citizen input. You have the right to do it. We'll be happy to listen, but whether I vote yes or no, ultimately I will vote yes because... Where this is just the introduction, and I would just like the citizens to keep that in mind when they talk.
Okay. And the concept of the introduction happened quite a few years ago when I don't think they did as much posting of signs and the rest, so we've modified it since then. And I kind of remember that a whole discussion on it. This is so that people know in 2 weeks this is going to come up for a vote. So I think... anyone that wanted to know that explanation, at least that's how I remember it. But we do have several citizens that put in cards to speak. Greg Merrick.
Good
My name is Greg Merrick. I live at 3060 North Ridgecrest, Unit 182 in Lucindus. I'm aware this is just the introduction, but there are some issues that need to be addressed now before you consider this on the 19th. And I want to state at the beginning that the Lucindus community supports a mixed-use project on Parcel 51. In fact, there are only three issues of concern that could be easily reached accommodation if there is a desire, I believe, on the city's part. And these three issues are, number one, the development agreement between the property owner and the city that no one has seen and which the Lucindus HOA has been excluded. Number two, building heights of 6 stories. We'd support 3 stories and drive-through uses. This development agreement will affect this project, but the planning board recommended approval without knowing the impact the development agreement will have on the project. I'm not aware of an instance where the city is party to a development agreement with a property owner, not a developer, when it does not either have land involved, it's providing incentives, or there is an annexation. None of these conditions exist in this case. So how is this agreement going to bind future developers? Deed restrictions? Well, the city's made it clear that it doesn't enforce deed restrictions. When will we have a chance to review this agreement? Hopefully in enough time that we can ask questions if necessary before the meeting on the 19th. Six-story buildings are out of scale in character in the desert uplands. The real issue is the amount of square footage and the required floor plate sizes needed to attract quality companies. Building heights have nothing to do with this. No one has identified the target amount of office square footage the city wants, and if there is a way to achieve this, by using 3-story buildings. No one has attempted to analyze this, and we believe this analysis should take place before this application is approved. When this case was sent back to the planning board, the council direction was a maximum of 30% residential. There's about 40% residential in this current plan. If we were to reduce the amount of residential, could we then have 3-story buildings? No one knows because no one will look at the options. This needs to be looked at before this application is approved. This project is being promoted as a pedestrian, village-oriented design. Drive-through uses have no place in this type of project. In fact, the proposed site plan is designed without any drive-through uses. If drive-throughs are added later, then the site plan will change and will not be the design that is being presented in this application. This mixed-use project has a chance to be something special, but I am very concerned that the focus on approving this application before the new council takes office will not give us the best project. We have the opportunity to do something special here. Let's take the time to do it right. Thank you.
John Duclos, followed by Shirley Duclos. John, you want to, we'll power it up. It's on the screen now.
Oh. Okay. Good evening. My name is John Duclos. I'm a member of the LS 51 committee. I live at 3347 North Boulder Canyon here at Mesa, 85207. Although my blue card indicated an opposition, I am not opposed to this mixed-use project. But Lucindus homeowners do have 3 issues pertaining to this item. One is the development agreement that is being negotiated, and that the property owner that no one has seen yet and from which the Lucindus Homeowners Association has been excluded. Building heights of 4 stories, we would support 3 stories as maximum height. And number 3, no drive-through uses be permitted. Related to these 3 issues is that at this point in time, no one has told us what the target amount of office square footage that the city wants. Is there a way to achieve this by using 3-story buildings? No one has attempted to analyze this, and we believe this should be attempted. When this case was referred back to the planning board, the council direction was a maximum of 30 residential. There is about 40% residential in the current plan. If you were to reduce the amount of residential, could we then have 3-story buildings? No one knows because no one will look at all of the options, and the development agreement will affect the entire project. The planning board recommended approval without knowing the impact of the development agreement would have on the project. I am not aware of any instances where the city has been party to a development agreement when it did not have either land involved, providing incentives, or there was an annexation. How can a development agreement under existing conditions be enforced? Please remember that three of the four parcels will be sold. We have a real chance to do something special here. We do not want to start from square one again. We are not opposed to a mixed-use project. Only the out-of-scale building heights and drive-through uses that do not belong in a pedestrian neighborhood project. If the drive-through uses were removed and the building heights did not exceed three stories, you would have very little, if any, opposition from the Lysandus community. Thank you.
John, it sounds like your remarks are very similar to Greg's. Almost identical. Shirley?
Mayor Hawker, council members. Everyone has a vision for Parcel 51. The landowner has a vision of profits from land and condo sales. The city has a vision of sales tax and employment. But the neighbors that surround it have a vision too, of a quiet upland desert place to live. We are looking to the city leaders to help us to continue this vision. Residents have done a lot of work. We have had open houses. We have had surveys. We've had emails. Lots of information has been gathered and shared with the residents. Residents have also applied and talked for appointments to the council members, and we appreciate and thank you for your time and your energies. These efforts resulted in the words quality, Lysandus-like, pedestrian-friendly, walking paths. A new architect was hired, a new site plan submitted, a traffic impact study done, an economic feasibility study also done, line of sight, etc. The residents have voiced their opinions and have come to terms with a quality mixed-use parcel, but want the zoning approval to be respectful of the four neighborhoods and the community park that borders this area, this 51 acres. As council member Summers remarked to us, he wanted to see white tablecloths on our restaurants. We agree with that. We do not want drive-throughs. We do not want massive six-story or four to five or six-story structures in our community. Members of the City Council, we have done our work, and now it's time for you to consider and make the right decision for the 3,400 homes in our community on May 19th. Choose well, for our future depends upon it. Thank you for your time.
Bill Hall, followed by Carol Hall.
Good evening. My name is Bill Hall, and I reside at 3933 North Arbola Circle, Mesa. I would like to take my few moments to discuss the concept of quality. Quality, of course, means different things to different people, even when discussing the same subject. For the residents of Lysandus, quality as it pertains to the proposed development of Parcel 51 can be defined as, number one, as the western half of the entry into Lysandus from McDowell, a smooth transition into the rest of the community. It would incorporate the same color palette, architectural, and landscaping elements as the rest of the community. Number two, incorporating and reinforcing the concept of the Desert Uplands Agreement. Number three, it would be people-friendly, an extension of our neighborhoods. Activities like outdoor farmers markets and arts craft shows sponsored by local artists would be encouraged. Families would be welcome to come down and spend some time having a coffee, ice cream, or a nice dinner. Number four, it would be designed so that the increase in traffic would be handled in a smooth and safe manner, taking into consideration the residents' concerns. The present site plan and its accompanying project narrative that will be decided by this council have many of the aforementioned elements. However, there's two major concerns that remain. The first and foremost is that of the six-story buildings, and the second is that of allowing drive-throughs. As can be seen from the projected image, this imposing grouping does not provide a seamless entry into the community. It is directly opposite of the Desert Uplands Agreement. True, the restrictions of the buildings over two stories only pertains to residential dwellings, This pod of six-story buildings certainly runs counter to the spirit and the atmosphere intended by this agreement. They are not representative of Mesa's premier community. We would ask for the rationale and need to have such an imposing grouping built on this site. We request that structures no higher than three stories be designed upon this site. Is there a solid economic model that would support these structures along with the additional costs and safety concerns that are not inherent in three-story buildings? We do not believe there are. The concept of incorporating drive-throughs does not send the message of come and sit a spell. The statement of having a people-friendly village atmosphere is not supported by drive-throughs. They are diametrically opposite by being impersonal, fast, in and out. We would hope that the members of the City Council give serious consideration to our concerns regarding the pod of six-story buildings and the drive-throughs and the message that they will send. Thank you.
Carol? Okay. Kendall Baxley?
I wasn't speaking on that particular issue.
Oh, you're 7H. I'm sorry. I got the wrong file. Would you like to? Yeah. All right. Sorry for that. Are there any other requests to speak on this item then? Is that it?
No additional requests, Mayor.
Okay. Do you want to answer a few questions here and perceptions?
Mayor, council members, again, Reese Anderson. Any specific questions you want me to answer or just the ones that I felt were appropriate?
Well, development agreement, height, and the drive-through are the three that seem to...
Well, Mayor, on those three issues here, I kind of heard that theme repeated by all of the speakers. Mm-hmm. On the development agreement, I'll let your staff respond to that. But as you know, traditionally, development agreements between developer property owners and the city have been private until the time that they're finalized. But by no means does that mean anything is a done deal or it's locked up. Just like anything comes before the council, it's my understanding the development agreement will be released shortly to the public. But my larger comment on that is it goes back, if you listen carefully to what these neighbors said, it's that they don't have control, and they want to control this parcel. And from the beginning on this parcel, we've been struggling with that issue. It's not that we're opposed to input, but we're frustrated by the amount of, or by the demands for control over the parcel by people that don't own it. As far as building height goes, we've proposed what we believe are an appropriate height. It's four up to six stories. That's, again, just to give us some flexibility. And we'll take the council's direction on building height as that issue comes forward. Drive-throughs is a red herring, council members. In November, when the P&Z sent us away, they asked us to go work things out with the neighbors. We met with the neighbors and came up with a list of prohibited uses. On that were drive-throughs for fast food restaurants. And at that time, they agreed to four drive-throughs that would not be prohibited. They were banks, a pharmacy, a Starbucks coffee, and a specialty deli sandwich shop. There are no drive-throughs on the site plan today. It's been significantly changed since then. But instead of saying, hey, I changed my mind, Mr. Anderson, and now I don't want any drive-throughs, they bring forward the argument that a drive-through is not appropriate for this location. In our list with the HOA and also in the development agreement, we've prohibited all fast food restaurant drive-throughs, and the only ones that are in the development agreement are a bank and a pharmacy. It's not on the site plan. It was just an exception there if something happened in the far, far future that's unforeseen. There's not a secret plan to put a pharmacy. There's not a secret plan to put a bank. So the argument about drive-throughs to me is just a red herring. It's not on the site plan. If a drive-through came back for some strange reason years down the road, the stipulation on the case now placed by P&Z, which we fully intended would be the case anyhow, would be that that site plan modification would come back through P&Z and to the council for full review. Our intent here is not to destroy the parcel or make it non-pedestrian friendly. On that, Mayor, I think those were the three issues. I probably went too long. If there's any other issues or questions you have for us, we'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from council members? Mr. Truitt, do you have one? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Staff have any update? Went back through P&Z. It's coming through us now. I think we've heard this one quite a bit. So.
Mayor, Council, no, we have nothing else to add to what you've heard.
Okay. Mr. Truitt.
I just wanted to ask probably our city attorney to chime in on the enforceability of a development agreement. I think people are looking at it suspiciously, but how the enforceability of a development agreement works on this owner, an applicant, and subsequent owners.
Mayor, Councilmember Truitt, a development agreement sets out certain rights and responsibilities for both parties. They will go beyond the owners, these owners. So if and when the development agreement is agreed to and the council approves it and is signed, it will be recorded with the county recorder's office, and all future owners, current and future owners of that property, will be bound by the obligations and the rights established in that development agreement. The agreement itself will also expressly state that.
My next question is that what I'm hearing is that it is in the development agreement that you've limited drive-throughs. This is probably back to Mr. Anderson because she can't talk about it. The development agreement limits drive-throughs to banks and pharmacies. Is that right?
That's right.
So you wouldn't have any problem if we added that as a stipulation of the introduction of this ordinance this evening?
No, we wouldn't. That list is already in our narrative. It's already in the development agreement, and it's already in a list that we're working on with the HOA.
I'm just trying to give maybe some comfort to the people that are out here that haven't seen the development agreement.
Let me add, Councilmember Truitt and Reese, what you just said. I don't have the project narrative right in front of me, but I believe it's there, and you said it is included. That requirement or exclusion that you can only, the only possible drive-throughs would be the four that you said, banks, pharmacies, Starbucks, and the specialty deli. That's contained
but
in
they're
the,
down to two now in the development okay. agreement is what he's telling them.
Yeah, that is true, Councilmember Truitt. And again, I if I could just digress for a second here. At the time that list was negotiated, it was in November under a prior version of the site plan. Remember, when we went to P&Z in January, that was rejected. We came to you for direction. We got direction, went back. We've hired Barry Burkus, who's delivered and designed the site plan that you see in front of you today. So that list was talked about under a prior version of the site plan. There are no drive-throughs on there, and I don't want anyone to get the false impression that there's a hidden agenda here. There's not. It simply is not. It's just I don't want anyone to be caught off guard that we're proposing drive-throughs. We're simply not.
Okay, Tom.
Just a follow-up on this issue. Does the project narrative as it exists today include the four drive-throughs or just the two?
I believe the project narrative exempted out the four because at the time we submitted it, the negotiations of the development agreement were still ongoing. In my opinion, that four exemptions were the four that the neighborhood group prior approved.
Right, but there's still four in the narrative, but in the development agreement, it's down to two.
That is an accurate statement.
And what Mr. Truitt is asking, I believe, is whether or not you would have any objection if we added a stipulation to the zoning case tonight that said you would only have two potential drive-throughs, bank and pharmacy.
The answer, Councilmember Rawls, is no, simply because then you'd be just tying our hands with an extra.
Well, we'd be making the zoning consistent with the proposed development agreement.
Yes, and therefore we would have no issue with that.
That's what I would have thought your answer would be. And that's what
I
thought. I
have another.
Vice Mayor.
And let me ask a question again. I think I heard it said here a couple of times, but because there is no agreement on the present plan, and when it went through planning and zoning, when I read the backup material, they said that if you wanted to have a drive-through, you'd have to go take it back to planning and zoning.
Yes, ma'am.
And potentially back through the council.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. It was always our intention from the always our understanding, and that's why, and what we've explained to the neighbors, and yes.
Okay.
In fact, Vice Mayor, that's stipulation 11. So it says future site plan reviews through the planning and zoning for site plans, which include drive-throughs.
Well, I have a problem with drive-throughs. So, but I understand with a bank that, you know, with a bank, you got to have a drive-through. How do you not have a drive-through with a bank? So, and those would have to come back through. This is, but I think that the concern that was expressed about a drive-through potentially altering the way the site flows is a valid concern. Therefore, the stipulation about bringing it back through is an important stipulation. So I just want to make sure that we all understood that.
And we'd agree with that, and that was always our understanding and our intention from the very beginning.
All right, let me suggest in the development agreement, when it comes back, that having looked at the site and heard comments on objections, I would you've got from 4 to 6 stories. I would like to limit that at a cap of 4 stories in that location. I think that there is something that's going to affect the character of Los Endes with a building that tall, even though it is up close to the freeway. So I'm not sure if you're counting votes or trying to figure that out. Do you want to proceed with that? All right. Hit the blue button then, and it's all yours.
My understanding, 3-story buildings, and this is probably for John, are they permitted in these zoning districts anyway without any, if they didn't, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Truitt. They're applying for a PEP zone, and that will allow for the taller buildings as approved with the site plan. So if the site plan approves the taller building, then they're allowed. Otherwise, they would be limited to the standard 2-story 40-foot.
Okay, so without the PEP zoning, they would be only allowed 2-story buildings?
Even with the PEP, that's the limit, unless it's specifically approved with the site plan.
Okay.
And so the site plan has shown the 4 to 6, so that would allow them.
I know what my last question was. Can you give us a ballpark on the schedule of the development agreement so the neighbors kind of understand when it might be made public?
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Truitt. We are still negotiating it. We think we're very close, and it will be ready for publication very soon. Certainly by the end of the week is what we plan. We had hoped to do it a little bit earlier, but I think we're going to possibly have an executive session on Thursday.
That's the last thing that I want one of the neighbors to understand, those that have asked questions. So I'm ready to make a motion. Okay, I make a motion that we go ahead and introduce this with the following additional stipulations: that the heights of the office buildings, Class A office buildings, be limited to 4 stories, the drive-throughs be limited to pharmacies and or banks. Is that quick enough? And is that clear enough and legal enough?
Councilmember Truitt.
Yeah, I have a problem.
My understanding is your motion is to introduce the ordinance as proposed with the additions of additional stipulations limiting the stories, the buildings to 4 stories, and limiting the drive-throughs to pharmacies and banks.
Yeah, 4 stories for the hotel and the Class A office, the A1, A2, A3, A4.
Vice Mayor?
Let me ask a clarifying question on that, because I'm willing to second the motion, but I need to clarify. By stipulating it that way separately with the drive-throughs, does the additional stipulation now get, you know, that it has to come back through, does that impact that at all?
No, because as proposed, it's still expressly required to come back.
Okay, so the fact that it's an allowed use doesn't mean it's not used by right. It still would have to come
back
through. Okay, I just want to make sure that's, I'd like that in the record as well. Daryl, you didn't push your button, so you want to undo us? Because he's the motion maker. I know you didn't. Now try it again. There you go. Now I'll second your motion.
All right. Have a motion by Councilmember Truitt, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters. Discussion, Scott.
I'm hitting the wrong darn button. That's just how long it's going. First of all, I'm going to say that I like the idea of the 4-story office. I think it helps fit in. Vice Mayor and I had some meetings today with the two groups from the residents of Los Endes, in which I think we finally heard just about the same story with one exception. One wanted 3-story and one was okay with 4. Other than that, we were fairly close. Something that I've insisted upon in this area since this program started is that we needed a high quality design and high quality users, hence my quote about the white tablecloth high-end restaurants as opposed to McDonald's, but that we also needed some high wage jobs. A few years ago, voters approved this particular site, the entire 51 acres, as being for business park. The idea being with the freeway coming and this area being among Mesa's highest demographic, if not the highest demographic, we should be capturing this area for some high-wage jobs. When Applied Economics, an independent specialist, took a look at this site with the 51 acres, they estimated under a typical business park designation with lower density, we would get 1,625 jobs paying a median salary of $49,600. As this project is advertised and as it's being sold, is the reason that the city should allow some of the site to go to residential was because we were going to get a boost in the number of jobs and the high quality jobs. In fact, that does pencil out. We get 1,790 jobs, just over $50,000. But in order to get those numbers, they had to go to six stories in height. Take out the six story in height. Again, I'm not opposed to that idea. We end up down to 1,390 jobs and just under $49,000. So the wages are slightly lower and we lose 235 jobs. Again, that's if the project's actually built. Mr. Merrick astutely noted that usually when we get into these development agreements, they are made with the builders, not just the property owner. So in cases like Dana Park or Waveyard, which is hopefully continuing to come forward, by the way, we were making development agreements with people who fully intended to build their project. I think we fully intend to build a residential. I'm not so comfortable with the fact that any of the commercial is going to be built as advertised. Now, the development agreement might forward with the new owners for certain, but I also have issues with phasing, and so that I don't make my city attorney nervous, I won't go too much into the detail. But my ultimate fear is, we add all these houses on 40% of the site, when in our March meeting we said 20 to 30%, and none of the commercial is built for 10 or 20 years, and we end up with the same, well, not this council, but a council in the future, ends up with the same problem that we had with Lowe's, which was originally supposed to be commercial, and I believe it was auto sales. That fell through. We ended up with more housing and a big lot and a lot of angry neighbors. I am very concerned with the phasing, and I am very concerned with the job balance, and it's something that I would very much like to address, Mayor, in an executive session on Thursday, and hopefully very shortly after that we can make this development agreement public. But I cannot support this project going forward without the proper balance of the neighborhood concerns being addressed and the city and the voters of Mesa knowing that we're going to get a high quality product with high wage jobs. So I will be voting no.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I share the concern that Council Member Summers has about jobs on this site. I think that it's important for us to get high wage, high quality jobs. I have said at previous council meetings how critically important the design is on this and making sure that it's high quality development. We're going to talk about that. I can't talk about most of this because it's going to come forward in the development agreement, but I share also the concern about ending up with another potential situation like Lowe's. I don't want to have Mr. Anderson standing here in 10 years telling us why this couldn't develop and now the neighbors are mad and they want to have houses. The new neighbors, not the old neighbors, but the new neighbors who now think that they should have that they should have something different there. So I'm going to look to the development agreement to address some of those concerns, and I'll look forward to that discussion, but I will be supporting the motion. I think that this is the correct motion. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Jones, do you have any comments on?
Not a whole lot. I've already sat down and had discussions, and I first felt more comfortable with the four-story, and I expressed that earlier to the developer and the property owner, and I'm willing to go forward with the protections of the development agreement.
Is that
I'm a little overwhelmed tonight by the amount of micromanagement going on at this council level, but let me just ask the applicant whether the four-story limitation is something that the applicant can live with, or is it something that, from your perspective, causes a serious heartburn?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, we can live with the four-story limitation.
Okay. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was a long time ago, that we all have a vision for Parcel 51. I just want to disassociate myself with the rest of you then, because I don't own the property and I don't have a vision for it. I'll support the motion because the applicant appears to be comfortable with the two drive-through limitation, the four stories, and the development agreement issue will be resolved before the 19th of May. So I'll support the motion, but I'm probably as least happy as I've been here in a long time.
Motion and second. Any other discussion by council? Okay, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
All right, the vote is 6-aye and 1-nay, with Councilmember Summers voting no. All right, next item is on page 11. It's item 6N. And where did I miss one?
No, you're right.
All right. And I have a conflict on this one because I own a house that is in within 300 foot of this development. Tom?
Thank you, Mayor. My employer owns property immediately to the north of this parcel, so I will be declaring a conflict.
Thank you. This is Z0825, 1150 North Alma School Road, located north of University Drive, actually north of 8th Street, I believe, on the west side of Alma School Road. And this is to rezone from PEP-DMP to PEP-PAD-DMP. This is the offices, the Louth offices, and this is an introduction, and the hearing will take place on, on the 19th of May. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Council Member Whalen, seconded by Council Member Summers. Is there any discussion? Council Member Jones, any discussion?
None.
All right. Seeing none, would you all please vote? Council Member Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
And the motion carries with 5-ayes, and the Mayor and Council Member Rawls abstaining because of potential conflicts of interest.
Okay. Next item is 6-0. This is, again, I think we're still on introductions. This is 2860 East Main Street, zoning case Z08-28. And this is the request that will allow a pawn shop in an existing shopping center.
This is an introduction. I'll second the motion.
All right, have a motion and second to move forward on the introduction.
Oh, this is the introduction.
This is introduction.
Councilmember Summers?
You pulled it. Yeah. Mess with my district.
He didn't know it was an introduction.
I apologize to the council. I was going to vote no.
All right.
It's just an introduction. My apologies.
Yes, it is. All right. Would you please vote? Councilmember Jones?
I vote yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next one's on page 12, 7H. This is modifying fees and charges for the Planning Division.
Mayor.
Vice Mayor.
For the purposes of discussion, I am going to make a motion that we approve the commercial portion of these fees and refer the residential portion of them to the June 2nd meeting for consideration with all of the other residential fees. I pushed my button.
Yeah. All right, we have a motion and second. I was going to recognize the two mayor candidates, but I think they left, saying they had some work to do on the second. Comment?
Mayor and Council Member, Vice Mayor Walters, just a point of clarification, when you say residential, We understand that you mean single-family or single residential units only, not multifamily, not
correct,
other types of residential.
Thank you for that clarification, and let me make sure that that's yeah, okay with the seconder of the motion. Yes, that was what I was saying, single-family residential. Thank you, Terry. That's a good clarification.
Okay, I have a motion and second. Any other questions or discussion? Would you please vote?
You had a speaker. Does he still want to speak?
Oh, I missed it. You filled out a blue card, and I've called you on the wrong item, so three strikes. If you would like to make comments, you're certainly welcome to. It's up to you. All right.
Sorry, Mayor.
No, I'm glad you saw it.
Honorable Mayor, Kendall, distinguished members of Council, good evening. My name is Kendall Baxley, representing the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona this evening. Frankly, I would be remiss in advocating for the residential building community if I didn't get up and speak in opposition to the increase in planning fees. If there's one point that I would like to make this evening that I didn't make in last council meeting, that would be that, frankly, at this time, there's just not a whole lot of residential permit submittal activity going on with no foreseeable increase in activity for those submittals. Again, currently the only money that builders are making, I guess you could say, is the money that's not being spent. We appreciate Mayor and Council's sensitivity to the current market or lack of a flourishing market. With that, I appreciate the consideration and sensitivity Vice Mayor Walters has expressed not only 2 weeks ago but this evening. And appreciate the fact that we can defer this to the June 2nd meeting. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that Mayor Council may have at this time.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Summers.
I'll say that I seconded the motion. I don't know I'm in agreement with you. I am not putting this off to the June 2nd. We can look at all the fees together. So I will, as a matter of fact, I've already voted. So that's important.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right, we have a motion and second for approval. Any other discussion? All right, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
All right. The vote is six ayes and one nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay, so it does pass. All right. Next item is 7J.
I'm going to make a motion for approval.
All right, and I have a motion for approval on that. And this is approving and supporting the submittal of three grant applications for nonprofit organizations to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Indian Nation. And the applications are submitted by the Symphony of the Southwest, $150,000 over 3 years. The Child Crisis Center, $50,000 for children's programming. And the Mesa Historical Museum, $50,000 to assist with the development of an exhibit. And we have a motion and a second for approval. Discussion? Mike?
Mayor, even though I'm not going to get any of this $50,000, the Child Crisis Center is a customer of my security business, so I will declare a conflict on this to make sure that we're not inappropriate.
Okay, Councilmember Rawls?
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion to delete the part dealing with the Mesa Historical Museum.
Okay, have a motion to amend. I'll second that. So let's go ahead and vote on the amended motion, which would eliminate the historical museum portion. All right, so we are taking the amendment first, which is to eliminate the Mesa Historical Museum grant from this request.
Mayor, point of order. Can we discuss that? I just want to know why you're doing it.
All right. We can certainly have discussion. You want to try a point of order on this?
I'm just clarifying. I don't recall
in my time on the council, and so we don't follow Robert's rules of order around here. How is this? Can somebody walk me through this? I know how you do it under Robert's, which is the direction you just went.
Well, and what we'll do is we'll do the amendment first, and then we'll do the major motion. If that's nobody objects, I'm glad to try another way if somebody thinks we'll get to a better result. But
that's fine.
That's typically how it would be done. All right, so the amendment is to delete the Mesa Historical Museum request of the $50,000 and proceed with the other two. Tom?
Mayor, Darrell was in my ear and wants to know why I did this, and basically for the same reason that you expressed. I just don't get, I don't think it's an appropriate use of the 12.5% money that the Indian communities collect from their gaming. It's really not to have a exhibit honoring the Cubs at the Mesa Historical Museum. I think there's got to be a lot better uses for that money in the communities, and I don't favor that particular grant.
And I've struggled with the 12% money and which grants you forward and which ones you don't. And when I saw that they wanted to do a Cubs exhibit at the Historical Museum, I thought, man, we've got a whole lot better uses for grant applications than that. And they're going to maybe discount some of the other ones, the Symphony and the Child Crisis Center, and maybe not fully fund those and split the monies. So I wanted to prioritize where I thought was better. And so that's why I concur with the elimination of this portion. So we are voting on the amendment.
I think you guys are going to, she cleared off the board, so I think you're going to have to press your buttons for the motion and the second.
Tom, you want to push? We'll
okay.
Comply with that.
So now
so this is for the amendment. Would you please vote on the amendment? Mike? No, you can't vote.
Kyle.
All right. Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay, so the vote is split 3-3, so it does not pass. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the original motion, which was for approval of all three items.
Make that motion.
And Vice Mayor Walters has made the motion. Is there a second? Second by Councilmember Summers. This would be for the grant as proposed on item 7J. All right, would you please vote? Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Okay, the vote then passes with Councilmember Jones, Summers, Walters, and Truitt voting yes. And Councilmember Whaling having a conflict, and Mayor Hawker and Councilmember Rawls voting nay. So this one does pass and will be submitted forward. All right, next item is on page 14. This is item 8E. And we were anxiously awaiting Councilmember Summers to return so we could, we had, I think, was this a 3-3 before?
Almost.
Yeah. All right. This is the increasing the monthly vehicle reimbursement to $300 for the mayor and city council members. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I asked the mayor if I could, before anybody made a motion, if I could just make an explanation here. I'm the person who asked to bring this forward. I'd like to make the point that if there's anybody who should want to potentially, I suppose, wish a future this future council ill, it would be me, and I don't. I wish them nothing but good. And if there would be somebody who would say, hey, your problem, not mine, wouldn't it be me? But that isn't how I feel. When we passed back in 2001 the car allowance, whatever you want to call it, what do we call it on here? The monthly vehicle reimbursement. Prior to that time, we had been submitting mileage, these detailed mileage things, that it would take a very, very long time to, you know, tracking every bit and turning it in. At that point in time, we went and the city charter actually specifically says that council members and the mayor, and I'm on section 202 compensation, shall receive their actual and necessary expenses. This is in addition to their salary incurred in performing the duties of their office. You know, the duties of this office don't stop when I go home. They don't stop when I go to the grocery store. I have probably had more conversations in the frozen food aisle at Bash's, in the produce section at Bash's. Okay, I shop at Bash's. I guess you might have figured that out. All over the, yeah, all advertising for Bash's, I suppose. I have had conversations when I have been at ball games, when I have been everywhere. In addition to that, I frequently travel to Phoenix, to Tempe, to other neighboring cities. I travel out to Gateway several times a month. I am all over this city when there's zoning cases, looking at those zoning cases. Sometimes I go on my way from one thing to another thing. When we passed this $150 a month allowance, the price of gasoline was $1.31 a gallon. Since I requested that this be introduced, the price of gasoline has gone up another 20 cents a gallon from what it was when I requested it, that it be introduced. If this fails tonight, it's hardly the end of the world. The incoming council members, if they are wise, and well, actually, it's hard to know what they're going to do if they're wise because of the amount of time it takes to keep track of all of this. But they can just say, I don't want that allowance. I'm going to turn in my mileage. And the federal reimbursement, I understand, is about to go up. I suspect it will end up costing the city more money to go that direction. Of course, any incoming council member or any sitting council member has the right to not accept this allowance. I would say that over the last several years, I have been subsidizing this to the tune of, you know, several hundred dollars a year, if not more. My point is that you should not have to be wealthy to run for the city council. There is public service and sacrifice that goes on simply by serving. The hours that you spend here making $19,000 a year doesn't quite cut it. But you know when you run that that's what the pay is. And you know that you're going to have to give up all of the hours that you could be out working and making money. And you do that because it's public service. But it is my belief that in addition to that, we should not require the council members to make up for the fact that the oil and gas prices have gone up more than double, 2.5 times what they were when they put this in place. So this will not benefit me. I'm not going to get this money. This is to make sure that when people look at running, that they understand that it also isn't going to have to come out of their pockets in terms of additional time. And believe me, for those of you who haven't filled out those, you know, those things, it did take very significant time. And so for that reason, I ask for it to be brought forward. I'm making a motion that we increase the monthly vehicle reimbursement to $300 a month. I will make note of the fact that that still puts us below most of the neighboring communities and where they have been for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, I believe that while we've been at 150, Tempe's been at 500. The town of Gilbert, I think, provides a vehicle for their mayor. I don't know what happens with their council members, but also true of some other communities. And that isn't something that we have done here. So I'm making the motion. I recognize I'm not saying anything bad about somebody who votes against it, but I wanted to put forward my reasons for bringing this forward.
Okay, have a motion. Is there a second? Okay, I have no second.
I'm not there to see, but I will second it.
All right.
And my reason for it is one, I hadn't thought about it until the vice mayor brought it forward. But the notion that you need to have money to do it, one, if somebody doesn't want to take the allowance, they don't have to take it. But there are a lot of things that we do when we become involved regionally that requires travel, that does cost a lot of gas. And by saying, no, we don't do it, then it does come out of our pocket, which is a discouragement to get involved regionally and to participate and do the things that we need to do our job correctly. So making it available to those who will use it, again, you don't have to take it, is a wise thing to do. And there's never a good time when you're in a budget crunch, but where there's such a high turnover and those who are outgoing are not going to be affected by it. The only effect they'll have is getting hammered by people making comments, and I understand that, but it is the right thing to do, and it is the right time to do it, and I'll just leave it at that.
All right. That's Councilmember Jones. Thank you.
Explain my vote.
Councilmember Whalen.
I supported the vice mayor when this was brought forward, and I still think she's doing the right thing. I really do believe she's doing the right thing. But when I read that the two mayor candidates and three out of the other four newly elected people don't want it, I don't think I'm going to fall on a sword for you. Quite frankly, I think you're big boys. As some people said, I'm going to call you out. And I want to say, you make your own decisions, because I'm not falling on the sword for this one. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Councilmember Truitt.
I don't disagree anything that the Vice Mayor has said. My philosophy is just slightly different. I'm donating, in my opinion, tons of hours for the compensation that we receive for this. And I think that it sends the wrong message when we're trying to cut budgets, when we're trying to lay off employees. I don't think it's the right time to do more of a philosophy, not because it's not justified economically, and that the avenue is still there. If somebody needs the reimbursement, really needs it, they can fill out the mileage reports, and I understand it's lengthy and time-consuming. But philosophically, as we're sitting here cutting budgets and laying off personnel, if it was a different time, I'd be there.
Okay. Councilmember Summers.
You waited for me, why?
Didn't need to.
On a personal note, I would say I'm a firefighter by trade, so you'd have to envision this when I...
Hit your blue button if you're not on.
I hit the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm a firefighter by trade, so you have to envision this. When I bought my little Toyota POS, also known as an Echo, I bought it in about year 2000, and you have to envision a fire station, pickup truck, pickup truck, pickup truck, little tiny Toyota, pickup truck, pickup truck. And you know, and so I was mocked and ridiculed until this year when last couple of years, everybody keeps asking me, what kind of gas mileage you get on that? For the record, I filled up today 38 miles to the gallon. So that's a Toyota.
new car dealership coming in where?
There's a new dealership coming. Yeah, so my wife and I are shopping for a new vehicle. Not that one. That one we are absolutely keeping. So I agree with Vice Mayor Walters, but I can't support it for much of what that Darrell said.
Okay, we have a motion and second for Tom.
Sorry. I expressed my views on this earlier, but I just wanted to ask Scott whether he knows whether the car was the basis for the ridicule, or was that just an assumption on your part?
Half.
Okay. Digressing a little bit, we have a motion by the Vice Mayor, seconded by Councilmember Jones, for approval of the increase in car allowance to $300. Will you please?
She voted wrong already.
They're not even in there yet, are they? Oh, okay. Seems like somebody else did that last week, and it was me. Please, you want to go ahead and clear it? All right. Will everybody please vote? You have voted. Hit the no button again. I think it cancels out and goes back to the no. Councilmember Jones, how do you vote?
That would be yes.
All right. Waiting for the official tally. All right. Would you please vote? Please vote again.
Okay.
Not let you in. Councilmember Jones, still yes?
Still yes.
All right, the vote is 2 ayes and 5 nays, so it does not pass, with Councilmember Walters and Jones voting yes on this one. All right, the next item then is on page 15, items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
No requests, Mayor.
Entertain a motion. Motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All in favor say aye. We are adjourned.